Rincewind didn't even bother to argue.
"You're going to have to sort this out," said Scrappy. "You're the cause."
"I'm not. Things happen to me, not the other way round."
"I could disembowel you with a kick, you know. Would you like to see?"
No.
"Haven't you noticed that by running away you end up in more trouble?"
"Yes, but you see, you can run away from that too," said Rincewind. "That's the beauty of the system. Dead is only for once, but running away is forever."
"Ah, but it is said that a coward dies 1,000 deaths while a hero dies only one."
"Yes, but it's the important one."
"Aren't you ashamed?"
"No, I'm going home. I'm going to find this city called Bugger Up, find a boat and go home."
"Bugger Up?"
"Don't tell me the place doesn't exist."
"Ah, no, it's a big place. And that's where you're going?"
"And don't try to stop me."
"I can see you made up your mind," said Scrappy.
"Read my lips."
"Your moustache is in the way."
"Read my beard, then."
The kangaroo shrugged.
"In that case, I've got no choice but to carry on helping you, I suppose."
Rincewind drew himself up.
"I'll find my own way," he said.
"You don't know the way."
"I'll ask someone."
"What about food? You'll starve."
"Ah, that's where you're wrong," Rincewind snapped. "I've got this amazing power. Watch."
He lifted up a nearby stone, extracted what was underneath, and flourished it.
"See? Impressed, eh?"
"Very."
"Aha."
Scrappy nodded.
"I've never seen anyone do that with a scorpion before."
The god was sitting high up in a tree, working on a particularly promising beetle, when the bursar ambled past far below. Well, at last, one of them had found it. The god had spent some time watching the wizard's attempts at boat building, although he had been unable to fathom out what it was they were trying to do. As far as he could tell, they were showing some interest in the fact that wood floated. Well, it did float, didn't it? He threw the beetle into the air. It hummed into life at the top of the arc and flew away, a smear of iridescence among the treetops. The god drifted out of his tree and followed the bursar. The god hadn't made up his mind about these creatures yet, but the island was, unfortunately, and against all his careful planning, throwing up all sorts of odd things. These were obviously social creatures, with some of the individuals designed for specific tasks. The hairy red one was designed for climbing trees, and the dreamy ant-stamping one for walking into them. Possibly the reasons for this would become apparent.
"Ah, bursar," said the Dean heartily. "How would you like a brief trip round the lagoon?"
The bursar looked at the soaking log and sought for words. Sometimes, when he really needed to, it was possible to get Mr. Brain and Mr. Mouth all lined up together.
"I had a boat once," he said.
"Well done. And here's another one, just for..."
"It was green."
"Really? Well, we can..."
"I found another green boat," said the bursar. "It's floating in the water."
"Yes, yes, I'm sure you have," said Ridcully kindly. "A big boat with lots of sails, I expect. Now then, Dean."
"Just one sail," said the bursar, "and a bare, naked lady on the front."
Hovering imminently, the god cursed. He'd never intended the figurehead. Sometimes he really wanted to just break down and cry.
"Bare naked lady?" said the Dean.
"Settle down, Dean," said the senior wrangler. "He's probably just had too many dried frog pills."
"It's going up and down in the water," said the bursar. "Up and down, up and down."
The Dean looked at their own creation. Contrary to all expectations, it did not go up and down in the water. It stayed exactly where it was, and the water went up and down over it.
"This is an island," he said. "I suppose someone could have sailed here, couldn't they? What kind of bare naked lady? A dusky one?" "Really, Dean?" "Spirit of inquiry, senior angler. Important biogeographical information."
The bursar waited until his brain came round again.
"Green," he volunteered.
"That is not a natural colour for a human being, clothed or not," said the senior wrangler.
"She might be seasick," said the Dean.
There was only the vaguest of wistful longings in his head,
but he did not want to let go of it. "Going up and down," said the bursar.
"I suppose we could have a look," said the dean.